Item 4 is a subdivision at 956-958 McMillan Avenue under file DASZ-19 of 2012. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing and the following items will also be heard at the same time. Item 5, the conditional use at 956 and 958 McMillan Avenue under file DCU-145539 of 2012. Item 6, a variance at 956 and 958 McMillan Avenue under file DAV-145541
2012.
All right.
Okay,
I guess I'm
Chair.
This is in River Heights. Gary?
The applicant, Hijab Mitra. Oh, that's you. Oh, okay, that's what I'm confused
about. That's what I'm confused too, yeah.
Okay, come on up again, please.
This just has to happen in front of the same day.
Okay.
Suggestion that the only way to handle this is to talk to the community and then see what they want and go ahead from there, and then we'll figure out whether we can get what we want. So our first step was based on, now as a community, what is the radius or the diameter we have to go to extend? So we came to a conclusion that we'll talk to the immediate block from Stafford to Harrow. So we had about 10 to 12 meetings, 10 to 12 site visits. Obviously, we couldn't find everybody at the same time, so we kept going back to get our answers. So the first thing we did was we drew a street view on what is actually there between Stafford to Harrow on Michigan. And we decided to analyze the entire street. And we prepared a report. And I'm guessing that report is with you. I can pass that on if you all would like. On what clients actually asked for in the very beginning. So in that report, you would see we have spoken to a the rejection where we have claimed the 0.5 is the person who just refused to talk to us. We spoke to his wife, but the man of the home was just refusing to talk to us. And from the analysis of the report, we then went back with a design proposal individually to homes. And from there, we understood that there are certain things that we couldn't replicate on the street. Most people would like to see 100-year-old homes. How do we do that? We had some input from neighbors, especially 937 McMillan and 954 McMillan, where they gave us very strong ideas on design. And one of the suggestions were to use small elements on the street, like porches, window opening sizes, mullions. And coming with all that, the biggest concern people had was the density, the parking, the volume, and they could see what the scale of the building actually looks like. And these are the two lots. And most people were happy with what the scale and the proportion was and on that street. And how we can fit a multi-family by still making it, keeping the residential landscape and not being overpowering to the neighborhood. The other things that we took from the site analysis were the color schemes. So with the brown color stood out a lot on the street, and that's what we did. Now, from that, if you look at this proposal, we had long linear windows. And one of the clients on 937 McMillan was here today suggested a very good idea. He said, Keisha, why would you like to keep such long windows? Why don't you break up the windows such that it actually, it doesn't replicate what's on the street, but at least it has some scale to what's already there on the street. So we readjusted our design to what we have today. And these are the two views that we created. And initially we had a lot of stone, and the immediate neighbor said, you know, the street has a lot of siding, and you wouldn't like it to dominate with so much stone. A wrought iron fence. Quite a few neighbors did not want that because, you know, it was not 100% everybody was on the same page. But we tried to keep everybody in the loop and what we had suggested. Once we finished this step of the analysis, what we did was we met with Councilor Orico and told him what we had done. And at that stage, he had suggested saying that you had done a good job, but you're one step further and decided to have a community hearing. And we had asked the Councilor's Oracle's office to help to distribute our community hearing pamphlets around, and I think they did it by email. And then I personally went from door to door dropping off pamphlets for this. And we did have the community hearing, and it was amazing to see what the people had to say from the block next door and from the block. Were wondering about parking on that, you know, neighborhood. So what we did is we had presented to them that we do have one parking spot per unit, and there was one very clever idea from one of the clients who was in support. He's not here today, but he sent me an email asking, wishing me good luck today. But what he said was, it seems to be a recurring problem in the neighborhood, so he suggested that if they come up with some temporary pass idea for the neighborhood or the people living on the street, that they have a resident pass to park, and, you know, things like that. But I told them this is not under my control, but I will bring it up. So I guess this is the process we have taken up, and this is what we've done. And we've had a wonderful experience with the people in McMillan.
No, I said,
do you want to come and do some development in the Fort Rouge board?
We'd love to work with you. Thanks. Just your process. I'm not making a comment on the project at this stage.
Yeah,
it was fantastic process.
I think the process was a part of what Councilor Orico, I have to give credit to him,
yes,
as well as to Michael as well, because yeah, they worked with us through this and they helped us. And it was just a fantastic process, and I think we're going to do this for every single project from our office hence.
And you listen to their advice.
Everybody does. Thank you. Thanks.
I guess,
any questions? Sorry.
Yeah, so
questions?
I just have one question. so you're proposing a 5 and a 3. And so you're proposing 5 parking spots and 3 parking spots?
We're proposing 4 on the right, so that's 3 parking and 2 for 0 and 5. Get evening parking?
The question the neighborhood has, and we're facing it as most urban neighbors could do, is if they don't have a parking spot in the back, yeah, one's great, but they have 2 cars, they park on the front street. Mm-hmm. All my neighbors park on the front street too, but besides the point, it's pretty full up there. I don't think there has been discussion, I didn't mention it before, of providing the opportunity for some people to. But the other idea would be allowing some more parking in the evening. Would that be something the developer could pursue?
I think so. I can ask the question.
Okay.
I
just want to be.
We're asking the people who live on the neighborhood, why don't you clear up your garages and park inside? We should have another chat with the neighbors and see, you know, why don't you start doing things which will help you
politically. I can tell you there's it's not the safest. There is an entitlement issue that we all face, including myself, that we're allowed to park on our front street even though legally you're not. But again, it is what it is. I'm definitely not prepared to go there yet. I don't think we have that kind of Vancouver density issue. But yeah, you can, again, in that case, you can forward them to me and I'll give them the political answer. But thank you.
I just have one more question if you have more questions too. I did have one other question. What are the size of the units you're looking at?
It's between 1,000 to 1,300.
Okay, thanks. You can stand down. We'll invite you back if you wish for a rebuttal. Also in support, Jonathan Freed. You don't have anything to add? You just want to be registered in support? Okay. And in opposite, anybody else in support who has not had their name called? Okay. Opposition, we have Steve. Sorry, those E's look a little different. Steve and Sherry Heyman. You want to come up?
Emphasize that they're drawings, and I believe that if the building is built because of the zoning should be within the parameters of the other homes on the street with the existing zone. Gordon or Stafford, and this is a street of single-family dwellings. Each home has an individual character, and although there may be some multiple families living in some of the dwellings, no home jumps or stands out. And I'm asking to say no to the variances that would allow this new development to be larger than the existing home. My second objection is my biggest objection, is the request for the variance on the parking. This street already carries a parking load from the buildings on Corridon, and that the employees from the recently built WRHA park on the street there during the day, starting at 8:30. In fact, a lot of the lots that they're proposing to develop backing onto the lane offers the WRHA people parking spaces, and when this is eliminated, those 8 are going to be parking on the street, and when the WRHA people go home for the night, the people in the tenants from the apartment buildings in the area coming home from work park the evening. Day and night, the street already carries a parking burden, and to it's beyond the board, the scope of the board to control who parks where, but there are rules for building of new structures, and I'm asking that those rules be followed and not
go into rebuttal. Is there any questions for the administration?
Yeah, I have some.
Oh, I'm sorry. Before you do that, I apologize. Is there anybody else registered in opposition who's here, who has name has not been called? And there's somebody for information, Jerber or Kenber. Did you wish to speak?
I would just like to ask or clarify what would stop these people.
What we do and what I'm willing to do is make sure that those designs have to come back before they build and are approved, and that's what they have to build. Someone down the line, 20 years down the line, rip it down and build something else with those variances. I'd have to ask the administration, but
likely with the brand new construction going up.
But again, this building, because with what I've heard about what's happened on the block in the past, I can definitely see some of your concerns of, you know, this is what they say they're going to do. Are they going to follow through with it? That's why we make it come back.
So it has to come back to this committee for, as you might have seen earlier this evening, looking at the plans. And if it's in variation from what was presented here, you know, we could argue with that. Maybe one other process I was just going to ask the staff to mention. I don't know if this, what about a parking management plan or anything like that? Was that, that's not part of this, just the parking that's there was considered adequate under our rules and everything? Well, it's a variance.
They've applied for a parking variance. In this neighborhood, the bylaw requires 1.5 stalls per unit because it's west of Stafford. The bylaw requires 8 stalls, and they're providing 5 stalls. Based on the width of the property, they are directly off the stalls.
On one of the two properties.
Yeah.
One of them is 5 and the other is 4. They're basically providing one for most units and then one extra one. Right? Yeah. Okay. Any other questions for administration?
Yeah, so on the parking, so we have the first unit that's not on the corner. They have 3 units, 4 stalls. one is closed. But the other unit that has five units has five stalls?
That's correct.
So they're short 2.5 stalls on that one. Is that correct?
Actually, eight. The bylaw requires 8, and they have 5. Because what they would right. do is round up.
They round up. Mm-hmm. So it has to have... So that's 3 spots there. That's significant. And then the other one beside it is missing. I'll get them back up and ask them that question.
Okay. So we have nobody else registered in relation.
If you'd like to come back up and respond to only information that was raised in the discussion. There's a mic there. Okay, sure.
Can you see, here, so if you see the green here, one bar, yeah. It's a single family residential. On the opposite side, you see here 2 bars, it's rental for 2 families. Sometimes you see 3 bars, it's rental. So the density is there. I don't know why people call it a single family residential. There are a lot of density is there on the street from our analysis. It's not that we are coming in and saying, oh, there is already an example of a 3-unit in a single family home today. The people who live on 954, 9 don't feel very safe in the neighborhood. They would like something to go up there. They wouldn't like a vacant property. And they are for this development, and they like density. And they would love to have people.
My question would be, I'll just give you a little background first, so why people in the neighborhood are quite adamant about this neighborhood staying single family, because it's supposed to be. And there has been some weird, and I know even on my block, not too far away, that there are many homes that are zoned R1 where they're not R1. But the block that you're talking about between Harrow and Stafford is what I call the borderland, Where the front bar, because I'm in that segment as well, where that front bar would affect the whole other neighborhood. That's what always these blocks have been from Grosvenor. If you try to do this on probably in the other side of Grosvenor, as we talked about, I'm not sure where that would fly. But again, for background as well, remember when we started this process, there was the idea of merging the lots together. And people have been approaching me over the years about putting lots together. Well, that's not happening. So people should be aware of that. That was not only you, but other people come forward, and that wasn't going to be happening where we're going to take two lots and make them do a big, huge apartment block. That was, and because of that reason, we are, the side of Stafford is designated differently than the other side of Stafford. So they shouldn't be confused. Again, there is some transition overlay. But parking is a big problem. I know that it's not your fault. It's not even my fault. That Winnipeg Regional Health Authority building, whoever approved that, was a boo-boo. It's not a good problem. It's actually had a huge negative impact on those two corner houses, because those two corner houses were being used for parking lots. And I know that there was desire from some people in the community to make those into a parking lot. Well, that was not going to fly. There's no way. You know, we know that was not going to fly. There's no way in that neighborhood we're going to take down even two houses that aren't derelict. They are scary. I'm a Gelati guy. I head off to E-Bus, and I pass those scary houses every time. So I agree with that. And there were some break-ins and all that kind of stuff. So I know that as well. But the parking is a serious issue. So I guess my question to you is, is there any way that you could get at least one more parking spot in there through some redesign? Or have you looked at that? Or
yes, we have looked at that. Now, when we take, it's a 50-foot lot. All I can do is put 5 parking stalls per lot. Yeah, because of the regulations, right? Now, if I put a 5 parking lot, you don't have pass-through. People want that pass-through. So we decided to remove one parking lot from one to give that space. And that is for the listen to every single home. And most people's concern is not that. The people's concern are people on the block. And why do they park inside? And this is not my view at all. It is the view from the immediate neighbors itself. And so at the community meeting, I asked this question. Can do in my capability to help you. Like, I'm not here to, you know, come and ruin your neighborhood. I'm here to help you, talk to you before I do this. I wouldn't have taken the time from February to September to wait for you to come to wait for so long. And I think the and I know that, you know, Steve brought that up about parking in that lot.
Stay on the property.
Yeah, because I want to stay in the property and not go beyond. But I have personally approached them, and I have dealt with that issue about their parking on, you know, this lots and what's going to be done and how. And I've come up with a very innovative solution. And it's not going to be. And yes, yeah, but I just think it's not fair for me to go beyond my property boundaries at this point. So.
We'll follow up with you on that, and I'll make mention of the other parts after. Okay. Thank you.
Is there any other issue of parking besides, like, what I could do?
Yeah, people.
No, as a counselor, I'm wondering if I could do anything that I have been hindering on parking, like.
Well, I mean, I was just going to say, I mean, I think the issue is what you can do on the lot is there's some. But like as you're saying, there might be other arrangements. Sometimes we have parking management plans that we even put put in as a condition, but I don't know if that's appropriate in this case. That's something we could discuss.
Which could say that there be some discussion about finding other off-site parking.
That we could actually put in as a condition. So there's other things we could do. If that's, it's a, I'll leave it to Councilor Orlico. Okay?
Okay.
So much. Councilor Orlico.
Okay.
Do you have any further discussion with the administration before we go into anything else?
I just want to clarify to the administration that, and you alluded to what I was going to recommend. I know we can't make it binding because we don't have a third party here, but can we make that a condition?
We have parking variances and we have parking management plans. The parking variance is to basically say you don't have to provide the parking.
Right.
Parking management plan says you will provide the parking, but you won't provide it on site. You'll provide it through some sort of alternative means. Yeah. So if you feel that they should provide three more parking spaces, you can make a condition that they
plan approval.
That they provide three spaces to the satisfaction of the director through a parking management plan. And then it would come back for a plan approval type process where they would need to show that they have a lease agreement for those three spaces.
We're looking at it like the MTS down on Corden. There's the opportunities where urban areas have these density problems, but then we have all these parking lots that are empty at night, but everybody, like for example, down in Corden, the MTS lot would be a great
spot. Isn't necessarily a problem.
But no, but the people coming to the neighborhood.
Parking is a problem. Cars are the problem.
There is parking, and I know we did part of that parking study, and it did show that Rexall slash in there, there is space in the evening. So
knowing there's a solution available, that's potentially, you could do something that would just be, yeah.
At least it goes.
I guess just the thing is, in terms of that, how does that work when it's a condominium?
For the parking stalls, it would most likely be the individual tenants, other property owners for parking stalls.
Is there much flexibility in the way the wording of the motion? Like, what would you recommend so that it's fair to the applicant,
well,
too.
And I've seen it both ways. One is to specify a particular number of spaces that you want through this off-site agreement. Another is to be not specific in the number of parking spaces, but to say explore shared parking agreements and to submit a report back to who you've talked to, what sort of arrangements you may have come up with, that kind of thing.
The latter probably easier. I've actually had, and again, this is for developers, and if they're hearing my minutes, when you have good relations with people who really work hard to make sure that things fit the community, I'm willing to give a little bit more and say I believe they will actually go out there and try to find some additional parking. I think that will happen. So I'm fine with adding that condition on the second one where the plan approval, when the plan approval comes back, I'd like to see them up to three spots and see what they came up with.
I would recommend, councillors, that it be condition of the variance, because that's where we're dealing with the parking.
So that's when we get to the variance, but just to confirm what it is that you would like to move, would you like to proceed, Councillor Orlico?
The report of the public service be taken as read.
All those in favor?
We see the public reputation be concluded.